Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick. The War Powers Act. Four major senators from both parties are asking the Biden administration to enter into a conversation about the War Powers Act with regard to the U.S. Navy in conjunction with the Royal Navy opening fire on launch sites in North Yemen associated with the Houthis, who are an adjunct of the Islamic Revolutionary, who are an adjunct of Iran. The reason the War Powers Act is pertinent at this moment is that I believe it is deliberately constructed so that it applies to just the instance we're dealing with. I read from Wikipedia. The War Powers Resolution requires the president to notify Congress within 48 hours of committing armed forces to military action and forbids armed forces from remaining for more than 60 days with a further 30-day withdrawal period without congressional authorization for use of military force or a declaration of war by the United States. The senators understand what the background is, but they say that Congress must carefully deliberate before authorizing offensive military action. That is the critical word, offensive. Not defensive, not defending the U.S. Navy under attack, but launching missiles against sites in Yemen, a sovereign territory, that are meant to be offensive, to intimidate the Houthis and their Iranian colleagues. Richard, a very good evening to you. I understand this has been debated for many years, depending upon the military action. But it is a stretch to say that the U.S. Navy launching those missiles is defensive because what's being fired upon is commercial shipping, not the U.S. Navy. Good evening to you, Richard.
Well, I mean, anything that you fire on a United States property would surely be something that the United States could defend. So if there were, for an example, an effort to try to kill 1,000 civilians, none of whom are associated with the military, there'd be nobody said that the United States can't defend them. You could defend anything in the United States. The War Powers Act does not deal with the very interesting cases. What happens if it turns out that we have allies who are attacked along with us or allies who attack when we're not attacked at all? In the last case, it's a little bit tricky, but I think in the case of mixed results, so long as there is any involvement with the United States, I think if they continue to attack, you can respond. The question is, what is a proportionate response under these circumstances? And here, I think that the senators are probably overstating the case. My view is that the only kind of response that is excessive is that which is launched after the immediate insurrection or the immediate fight has stopped. In this particular case, they keep on going. And if you manage to get some of the patrol boats that the Houthis send out at sea, that's very nice. But if they could send out more and if they have land-based missiles that they could launch, it seems to me that it is perfectly correct to call this thing a defensive measure to stop those things from happening because of the risk that it does to American military situation and military ships and to everybody else in the world. In fact, I'll even go a little bit further on this one. It is clear that the War Powers Act was highly controversial. It was vetoed by the President Nixon, you'll recall, and it therefore has this kind of very funny status. You pass it over a veto of the president to limit the president. There's a real question as to whether or not his political powers as the commander-in-chief of the United States military is eventually sufficient enough to let him ignore what they've said. The other point I think that's important in terms of the background of American culture is we last declared war on anybody on December 8th, 1941. When we get into other kinds of things, what happens is we do the usual kind of legal massaging of standardized terms. And so Korea was not a war. That is, the Korean War was not a war. It was a police action. And what happened is the United States went in after there was a Security Council resolution that authorized this, and I don't believe there was ever an American declaration of war. John Yoo, with whom I work all the time, as says, as a kind of a, if you're trying to think about a realist account of what's going on, declarations of war become relatively unimportant. There is, in fact, a body of literature out there which you can believe says there's such things as implied declarations of war, where Congress does something which is only makes sense if they're, in fact, at war with somebody else. And there are very strong strategic reasons not to declare war, because declaring war starts to entangle other kinds of situations. Under Section 5 or Article 5 of the NATO treaties, it turns out if you declare war or war is declared on you, the other guys are under a duty to come back and to assist you. And in many cases, you don't want their help or they don't want to give it. And so if you start declaring war, it could break up the NATO apparatus. In this particular case, therefore, I think it's pretty clear that Biden is in a position to continue doing what he wants to do. My view about it is that he's doing the same mistake that we have done in many wars. Politics always tries to get you into a position somewhere in the middle. We have in the United States large forces on the left who think that we should just ignore the Houthis because in many cases they're defending valid interests, including those of the Palestinians and Hamas. And then there are other people who said, send in the Marines. What happens is if you take the middle position, you always lose. And so if you remember the famous Powell Doctrine, it said either be all in or all out. The analogy that I like going is there are two ways to play tennis. You could be on the baseline, that's relatively passive, or you could go to the net. But you don't want to be in the middle of the court where the balls are going to land at your feet and you can't possibly return them. And that's what we tend to do in these cases. Political crises lead to very bad outcomes.
Let me give you an example then, Richard. Helpful to raise that. In the middle, you get in trouble. It's been said that the Biden administration is not going after the Houthis. They're going after launch sites. They're not firing missiles at the leadership, which is how they've handled Al-Qaeda, how they've handled ISIS. We're only striking launch sites. That suggests that they don't want this to escalate. And yet that leaves them in the middle. They're neither successful, the attacks continue, nor are they gaining the sympathies of those states watching the U.S. take this unilateral action. They're in the middle, just as you said.
Yeah, and it's silly. Look, I mean, you have to take out the leadership. The Israelis understand that, and they took out important members of Hamas in Lebanon with well-aimed drones. If you have the intelligence on this stuff, you have to use it. I'm thinking, for example, when you went back to the situation in Vietnam, what the North Vietnamese did is they stored all their munitions in churches, and we would never bomb a church. And we hit one by accident one time, and the whole thing was a complete conflagration. No, I mean, if you're going to go after somebody defensive or offensive, the last thing you want to do is do something which will make things a little bit easier, but in the long run doesn't make them completely better. And why is this so utterly deadly? Well, you start thinking about it for a while. People are very nervous about going through those straits and getting shot by Houthi bullets and guns and ram. So it's supposed to go around the African Horn. Well, you know, this adds 50% to the cost of a journey. It disrupts intellectual commerce. The longer you go, the more that disruption takes place. Insurance markets get roiled. But this is just madness. I mean, what you have to do is to say, look, we have a right to keep all of these open waters free for non-military traffic. And they are basically doing it. So these little guys are sticking their thumbs in our face. And we're sitting there saying, well, we're going to try to get the thumb out of our place, but we're not going to try to take off the hand. You can't run a military operation like that. Compromise, Joe, is not the way in which you want to do this thing. And we see the same situation emerging in Gaza. And God forbid if something goes off with respect to Hezbollah, you're going to have exactly the same problem. What you need when you fight a war is you have to have a clear outcome. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you get a kind of a quote-unquote ceasefire. Gives them time to rearm and reorganize and then to attack whenever they want. And the only way you can make sure that fire ceases is to make sure that they're unable to fire. And we're not prepared to do this. So the greatest problem that America has is it neutralizes its own military arsenal in an effort to try and make sure that you're not going to escalate a war. And what you do then is you have a constant wound in the side of the body politic, which can end up costing you billions upon billions of dollars each and every day, which this thing forgives. So I think, in effect, to call this prudence is foolish. As you know, I've always been a kind of a Pax Americana guy. I don't want to pick wars that don't matter. But if somebody wants to pick a war with me, which really does matter, the only thing that you can do is have every bit of force you need to stop it. And then when you shut them down, you stop acting. And if they start up again, then you wipe them out. And if you have to go in and take the place over so they can start it over, then you do that as well. I mean, at this particular point, what's going to happen is the Iranians, the North Koreans, and the Russians all sort of regard themselves as having free hands, because they think that the most that an American response will do would be to stop the original initiative, but not to destroy the capability. And at that point, they could strike again another day and keep this going. So this is a recipe for perpetual kinds of hostilities at a very costly rate for the United States. And in fact, will lead, I think, to real demoralization with our own military, who is told that whatever the generals think to be appropriate is irrelevant given the political considerations. And I fully agree that all the political decisions should not be made by the military, but the political branches. But there's a correlative to that. You better make them right, because if you keep making them wrong, what's going to happen is the military power is going to start to deflate as well. And you don't want to have that situation. So I think, in effect, what we're doing is putting ourselves in the wrong position. And oddly enough, this kind of war powers resolution rhetoric coming from four senators only feeds the doubt and makes it harder for the president to move. I thought it was an ill-considered letter. The good news, there were only four people who signed it. I think, in effect, at this particular point, given American culture and American situation, the president has to bear the burden and to put it back. If those guys want to do something, they have to take the steps in Congress. I remember, John, you was telling me something about this years ago with Iran, in Iran. And this is what he said happened. You'd go around asking for people to give you support on the effort that you wanted to take. And what you were told was as follows: anything I say at this particular stage is going to come back to haunt me if I guess it's wrong. And so what you have to do is you do the action. And if you win, then we will congratulate you. And if you lose, we will excoriate you. But essentially, the reason why you don't get congressional action now is individual members of the House and Senate regard themselves as being too much at a political risk. And if, in fact, you try to fight a war through those kinds of political intrigues, it doesn't work. So by default, the Congress has stayed out of it. They're kind of blame. And the president then has to act. Well, we have a rather indecisive president, and we have a totally immobile Congress. So this is not the way in which to run a nation. What you need here is strong presidential leadership. I don't think any other solution is going to work. And I hope that the president basically ups the ante in this particular case so that the people attack him realize for the first time that they actually have something to lose.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. He teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. Turning to the Supreme Court, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Nash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
COTUS salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free, Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTUS' ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at COTA.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.